Malcolm Ross of Orange Juice, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra. Get it together.
All together now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted to cover high school sports? Do you attend your own town meetings regularly and possess a cell phone? Then you could be a contributor to All Together Now. Send your idea for a regular segment or tell us if you would like to cover a specific beat. And WGXC can share technological skills, reporting rules, sunshine laws, and helpful hints to help report on your community.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, people of the universe. Dominic was paying absolutely no attention, so he just said some random thing about Commander Ninjutsu directly into the mic as I was turning it on. We are the Game Hoarders, and just like every Thursday, we are blowing out your eardrums.
Commander Ninjutsu? So, just from that line there, we can already tell you that we're going to be talking about the Trash Basket set is Magic today. Mostly the fact that they released a bunch of spoilers over the last couple weeks, and we thought we'd give it some time to actually like build up before we talk about it. Ja?
And by that, he means they didn't actually start spoiler season until last Thursday.
Exactly.
After the show ended.
Exactly.
I'm not even kidding. Like, an hour and a half after the show ended, they spoiled the four commanders.
Which got me salt.
Even though technically they were out already because somebody leaked them, but whatever.
Yeah, but official
yeah,
releases.
So, spoiler season for Commander 2018 is in full swing, which is definitely a good thing because the set releases in 14 days.
Oh my.
15 days, sorry. Magic sets release on Fridays. I forgot. Oh dear. Boop-a-doop.
Oh yeah, So you want to go down a list of the new commanders and then we'll start talking about them?
Not at all. But since we're going to do it anyway, boop-a-doop.
Okay, who do you want to start out with?
We are going to start with Estrid the Masked, because she's funny.
Oh, yeah.
So, first of all, for those of you who don't know, all of the commanders this year are actually Planeswalker commanders, which is something they did back in 2014?
Yeah.
Where basically all the Planeswalkers in the commander set will have a little rules text line at the bottom under all of their loyalty abilities that says, this can be your commander. So starting off with Estrid the Masked. Estrid the Masked is a Planeswalker, a legendary Planeswalker, because Planeswalkers are legendary now, for one blue, one white, one green, and one generic. She enters with three loyalty, and she has a couple of spicy abilities. The first one is pretty simple. It's a +2, which is untap each enchanted permanent you control. which I can only imagine how hilarious that'll be if you play all of the enchantments that you put on your lands.
Yeah,
you're just like, oh yeah, let me tap all my lands for mana.
And an
plus
untap
two,
them.
Untap them all, and make more mana. Following that, she has a minus one that makes an aura token called Mask. And you attach it to any permanent you control, and the token itself has enchant permanent and totem armor. Totem armor is something from a while back, back in the original Zendikar.
Yeah, it was original Zendikar.
That totem armor basically says, if the enchanted permanent can be destroyed, you can destroy an enchantment on it with totem armor instead.
Yeah, so in other words, you're just breaking the you're breaking their actual armor first.
Yeah. Which was ridiculous with, like, certain... Like, for example, there was Hyena Umbra, which is a one-drop... Which is a one-drop enchantment that gave plus one, first strike, and totem armor. Yeah, it was just ridiculous.
Not to mention a lot of the Umbras. Well, all the totem armors are have Umbra in their name because armor.
Because the entire idea for it was, like, you take on the aspect of some creature from nature, like a bear, a hyena... An octopus.
Oh, God.
Which is a card we'll talk about in a bit. Following that, we have a card that I still haven't figured out how to properly pronounce, but I'm going to try my damnedest. Aminatou, or Aminatou, or something. Aminatou? A Minotaur. She's a Minotaur. Confirmed.
Wait, we forgot the minus seven. We forgot the minus seven.
The minus seven doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
The minus seven says mill seven and then bring back all of the enchantments that are in your graveyard. It's OP. Moving on. Let's face it, it was going to be OP. But so, a Minotaur, the Fate Shifter, is a 3-mana planeswalker. She costs 1 black, 1 blue, and 1 white. She is a legendary planeswalker, a Minotaur. She enters with 3 loyalty. She has a plus 1 of draw a card, then take a card in your hand and put it back on top of your deck.
I don't know, it's pretty memes with the...
I mean, I'm sure the deck is going to have a lot of the effects that say, like, whenever you cast a spell, flip over the top card for your deck. If it's something, do something, or something like that. Something along those lines. Though it is worth noting, the deck is not green, which means you immediately lose access to Lurking Predators and Descendant's Path, which are, in fact, the two best cards for having an effect like this.
Then again, they also
Wizards.
Then again, later, they did print, what's it called, Entreat the Graves... So that's a miracle
that's
card.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, if I build this deck, I'm just going to put every card with miracle in it.
Yeah. Minus one, exile another target permanent you own, then return it to the battlefield under your control.
Because it's an Esper Planeswalker, they were legally required to add a flicker effect. And this is actually a really good flicker effect, because specifically, if your opponent takes your things, you can be like, no, I want it. It's mine. Stop taking my stuff.
Yeah, so I love the fact that it's like something you own. So it's just like, no, put it back.
I'm gonna super fudge the rules and be like, when my opponent's borrowing one of my commander decks, I'm gonna activate that on that and be like, sir, I own that card. Every card in your deck does in fact belong to me. Therefore, I am flickering a permanent I own.
She's also got the same commander effect where you can put her as a commander.
Her as a commander. And then her minus six
is the electric
hilarious.
Slide.
It's literally the electric slide. So when you activate it, you choose left or right. Then each player gains control of all non-land permanents other than her controlled by the player in the chosen direction. So if you choose left, you look at the opponent on your left and you take all their stuff and you take all of your stuff that you had before that. And you throw it to the opponent on your right.
Yeah.
And in a game of 1-1, you just do a swippity swap. You play Super Switcheroo, and then you laugh at your opponent when they realize that you just recently sacrificed all your creatures to one of the many effects in black, white, blue, where you can just be like, "Yeah, I'm going to sacrifice every non-land permanent I control."
Yeah, and then it's like, "I'm going to steal all your stuff here. You can take my land, my singular one."
So the next one we've got is Saheeli the Gifted. For those of you familiar with Saheeli Rai, it is the same character. She is from Kaladesh, and she did some stuff. Mainly just, showed Vivian around Kaladesh.
Yeah,
because
honestly,
she was not an important character in Kaladesh at all. Like, Dovin Bond was more important than her, and that is saying something.
Dovin Bond was a was
Dovin.
Mr. I pulled 28 of you.
Yeah. But so Saheeli the Gifted is a Saheeli legendary planeswalker for one red, one blue, and two generic. She enters with four loyalty and has plus one, create a 1/1 colorless servo. Or, alternatively, a different plus one of the next spell you cast this turn costs one less to cast for each artifact you control as you cast it. Which is busted.
Yeah, it gives Metalcraft, or not Metalcraft, oh my god, what's
I believe in you.
Affinity.
There you go. Yeah, it basically, it says the next spell you cast this turn has affinity for artifacts. And then she has a -7, which is a little stupid. The -7 is, for each artifact you control, each one, create a token that is a copy of it. Those tokens gain haste, and then they yeet themselves out at the beginning of the next end step. But by then, you've likely already won. You've doubled your field for a turn.
Yeah, like, honestly, there's not much most people can do against that after you, like, double artifacts.
Yeah. Then, finally, our last boy, the one that I am more excited about than any of them, because he is actually the only one of the bunch that is actually super lore-intensive. For those of you who don't know, when I say him, this is a guy who took some of Urza's awesome things and blew them up for fun.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty
so,
rare.
This guy is Lord Windgrace. Lord Windgrace is a Jund planeswalker. He costs one green, one red, one black, and two generic. He enters with five loyalty, and he has a plus two of discard a card, then draw a card, then if you discarded a land card, draw an additional card. Which is strong.
Yeah, because it gets rid of
yeah, let me throw away this land and get value.
Yeah.
Imagine controlling the Gitrog monster, where you throw away this land and get super value.
Jeez.
Following that up, he has a -3 of return up to two target land cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. A little bit of a Crucible of Worlds effect. It's nice. So, say you, I don't know, play some of the lands that when they come into play, you sack a land or something like that. You can bring back the lands you got rid of. You can bring back the lands you discarded with his effect. If your opponent blew up your Cabal Coffers, you can just get it back.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can just bring back
mainly
the
mainly that effect is for getting back the cards that your opponents so rudely targeted with their strip mine.
Oh, yeah. Or bring back your own strip mine.
Yeah. And then he has a -11, which is busted. His -11 is destroy up to six target non-land permanents. Strong enough for you? Nope. Because he also creates six 2/2 Cat Warrior creature tokens with Forest Walk. So, you blow up all your opponent's things, and then suddenly you have an army, which is totally fun, fair, and engaging.
No, you know, it would have been more engaging if they said, if it said you could blow up to six non-land permanents, or turn target six lands into forests,
that would
so
be
they can't even block the 12 damage.
Oh, that would be awful. And it's,
Yeah, so what's it called? He also has he's also got the commander
he's
clause.
Also, yeah, all the planeswalkers that we've mentioned have the this card can be your commander clause at the bottom. So following those, because obviously we don't have enough time to talk about every card that's been spoiled, I'd like to just go through and talk about a couple of the ones that we're pretty excited about. For example, Ninjitsu and Commander.
Oh yeah. Oh geez, she got spoiled like today. Because, you know, we're checking you out last night, too. So, Yuriko, the Tiger Shadow, one black, one blue, and one for
a... Specifically, she was spoiled exactly 5 hours ago.
Yeah, she's a 1/3...
Dominic wasn't even awake.
Yo, I wasn't. She's a 1/3 for one black, one blue, and one. She's a human ninja, legendary creature. Commander Ninjitsu for one black and one blue. So for the people who don't know, Ninjitsu says, my creature's unblocked. Pay Ninjitsu cost. Bounce the unblocked guy. I am now attacking, and I'm not blocked.
Oh, yeah, no, it's funny. I'm going to literally just, like, I'm going to build black-blue ninjas in Commander with her at the helm, because...
Yeah, she's
ninjas, etchy. Ninjas, even though it still annoys me, there is a card from back in the ancient times, and by the ancient times I mean 2010, called Silent Blade Oni, which should have been legendary, but wasn't, and I'm sad.
Okay, what's
but
it?
Oh well.
The other effect on her is, whenever a ninja you control deals combat damage to a player, reveal the top card of your deck. You put it in your hand. Each opponent loses a life equal to the thing's converted mana cost. Because who doesn't want to kill somebody?
Yeah. Just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna hit you in the face with all these ninjas, and then, yeah, I'm gonna reveal, this, all these 12 drops and kill you.
Yeah,
oh, look,
like,
you're dead.
Yeah, I was like, it like goes from like kind of okay to like, oh my, what was that top deck?
To like, oh my, one motion.
What's it called? Another one I'm excited about is oh my god, Phyrexian names. Zamacha? Sleeper agent. She's one black, one red, and one for a 5/5 minion legendary creature.
Also, her name is pronounced Zamacha.
Oh my god, Sancho.
It's way easier to pronounce than it looks.
I know, but the thing is...
We had a conversation, was it last night or the night before?
Yeah, it was last night.
About how if somebody tells you a name in like a D&D campaign, for example, and you're not sure how to spell it, just spell it phonetically.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'll end up with the acknowledgement that Owen starts with an E.
Yeah.
Winning.
Sancho... says, well, first off, she's a minion 5/5.
Yeah, she's a 3-mana 5/5.
Yeah, but the thing is, so when she enters the battlefield, because she's a sleeper agent, just like that one black card,
you just
glue it to
hand her to your opponent.
You glue it to your opponent, and she attacks each combat if able, but she can't attack its owner or planeswalker the owner actually the owner controls. So in other words, you give it to your opponent, and now she's like, I won't shoot you, boss.
Yeah, and then past that. She also has, any player can pay 3 generic to have her controller lose 2 life, and then the player who paid the mana draw card.
Yeah, honestly, that's so good. And because, and all things considered, that'd be a good, that would be a good negotiation tool. You give it to one of the guys who's already going to go around attacking people, and then everyone else is like, yeah, let's bully the dude who's attacking the table and draw cards.
Yeah. So that's just spicy. Since we've already gone through a bit of the cycle, I'm just going to jump into one of the last... I think we should just do the last two...
Sure.
Two-colored legendaries. So we're going to start off with the much more lore-intensive one, Tuanos, Urza's Apprentice.
Oh.
If you are not familiar with Tuanos, Urza's Apprentice, that makes sense, because he wasn't super important in the lore, but he does have one of the most powerful cards ever printed, which is Candelabra of Tuanos.
Yeah.
Which reads... Pay X, tap, untap X target lands. Which is, oh look, my lands tap for 2 because
yeah,
I play
say,
High Tide. Now I have a trillion mana.
If any of your lands go plus, you just untap them all, so it's like,
yeah.
Why?
But so, Tuanos costs 1 blue and 1 red for a 1/3 with haste, and pay 1 blue and 1 red and tap him to copy target activated or triggered ability of an artifact you control.
That's like, yeah, like...
I mean, it's beautiful in all ways, and I love him. But yeah, that's gonna, like, undoubtedly, he's gonna be the one that, like, the combo decks are built around. He's gonna be the one where everyone's like, check out my deck with 37 infinite combos.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be like, that's cool. I'm gonna beat you without an infinite combo. And then you are going to cry because you're bad.
You turn to Pact and Not their commander, and then it's like, it is Pact and Not, where you just sit
Declaration
there on...
Declaration of Not.
Declaration of Not, and you're like, oh, look at all those infinite combos working off your commander who'll never be cast.
And then, the final two-colored legendary that has been spoiled thus far, and the one that I am truly most excited about, SCP-169, the Leviathan.
Oh my god, yes.
So, this card is called RX Methys, Slumbering Isle. It is a 4-mana legendary Kraken, a 12/12 for 1 blue, 1 green, and 2 generic. Busted. But to make him slightly less busted, but still hilarious, and the reason that I called him SCP-169, SCP-169, for those of you who aren't super familiar with the SCP-verse, SCP is basically like a cooler version of Creepypasta that features a million awesome cryptids and also toasters that make you think you're a toaster. Their SCP-169 is called the Leviathan, and it is a giant underwater dwelling creature that is so large.
There's literally an island on it.
Yeah, so it is so large that there are growths on its back that make it look like an island. And it's completely dormant, so it just kind of chills. But the creature, I believe, is approximately 3,000 kilometers from head to tail.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is not quite that large, but it's still hilarious. But so, Arxmethus the Slumbering Isle says, it enters the battlefield tapped with 5 slumber counters on it. As long as he has slumber counters, he's a land.
Yeah, he's a land.
He just is a land. Specifically, a land with tap to add one green and one blue.
Yeah, so he's a bounce land, except
that you don't have to bounce anything.
Yeah.
And then he also has, whenever you cast a spell, just any spell, you may remove a slumber counter from Arxmethus. So, you play him, he's a land, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then, you cast 5 spells.
And now?
You cast 5 spells.
And now, he awakes.
And now you have a 12-12. Yeah.
He awakes.
And now you have a 12-12.
Yeah. Then he wakes up from his nappy and then hits your opponent for 12.
Now, the thing is, I'm not sure, like, this logically, but I wish that they had made him a land that you can play from the command zone.
Yeah.
Like, if he had been, like, if he had been a card called, like, so if, like, it would be, like, a legendary land named Arxmethus the Slumbering Isle, and it would enter with the 5 slumber counters, it would enter tapped. When it came in, you would have to, like, pay 4, or otherwise it would explode.
Yeah, otherwise
it would be, like, when it enters the, it would have to have an ability that read, and I quote, when this card enters the battlefield, pay 4, plus 2 for every time you have played this card from the command zone, or sacrifice it, which is just cheesy. And then it would have all the slumber counter clause, and then it would say once you've cast 5 spells, it transforms, and then it would be like Arxmethus Awoken or something like that. I know that there was literally no way they could validly make a land that they could not make a land that says this land can be your commander, but I would have loved it. So they did the next best thing, which is make a legendary creature that is a land. And I'm super excited about it. I'm definitely going to build a commander deck with this guy because he's beautiful.
Oh, so real quick, I just want to like talk about a cool card I saw on this.
Nope.
It's a Minotaur's Augury.
I thought a Minotaur was already...
Well, it's double blue and 6 for a sorcery that says exile the top 8 cards of your library. You may put a land from among them onto the battlefield. Until the end of turn, for each non-land card type, you may cast a card exiled with this of that type without paying its mana cost. One of each.
Oh.
So real quick, you set up, you use the actual trick to glue your favorite card to the top of your deck, and then you're like, okay, now let's reveal the top 8 cards.
You just need to, like, brainstorm repeatedly.
Oh my god, brainstorming.
I'm feeling Scroll Rack in this deck. They might reprint Scroll Rack, I think, actually, because they haven't reprinted that in a while, and it is needed.
Yeah, and plus, anyways, that would work amazing in the squad-y group.
I think probably the last thing I want to go over is just, so there is a cycle of cards in the set. All of them have the word Storm in their name. So one is Fury Storm, one is Genesis Storm, one is Echo Storm, and I don't remember what the other one is called for some reason.
Skull Storm.
Huh?
Skull.
Skull Storm, and then there's Imperial Storm. So each of the cards basically... has, like, a weird version of Storm, where it storms itself for every time you've cast your commander from the command zone during the game.
Yeah.
And each of them have a pretty strong effect. So Imperial Storm, the white one, says, make an angel, and it gets copied for every time you've cast your commander. Echo Storm says, make a token that's a copy of target creature you control. And the spell gets copied for every time you've cast your commander. Fury Storm says, copy target instant or sorcery.
Oh my.
Make a copy for every time you've cast your commander. Genesis Storm says, something. I can't remember Genesis Storm because it's green. It's the one I don't care
about. Storm says, each opponent sacks a guy.
It says your opponents have to sack a dude, and if they don't, they lose half their life. And
yeah.
And copy it for every time. So imagine your opponent who's playing Voltron, and they blew up your commander like 5 times, and you're like, okay.
Revenge!
Look, you've only got one creature. They've got their they've got an assault suit on it, so they can't even sack it. And you're just like, okay, guess you're doomed.
Genesis Storm.
Genesis Storm says, reveal cards from the top of your deck until you hit a non-land permanent, and then put it onto the battlefield. Then throw all the other ones onto the bottom of your deck, and you copy it for every time you've cast your commander. So all of the spells are stupid and busted, and I love them. The white one is probably the weakest one. Making angels isn't super strong, especially compared to the blue one that just makes a copy of whatever creature you want. The strongest one is probably either Skullstorm or Echo Storm. Depending on the deck it's in, all of them, though, can be
strong. Like, or if you have the luck like I do, where your commander gets shot down every 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. But so, anyway, we are just about out of time. So, for all of us here at the Game Hoarders, all two of us, we will see you all next week when we are invading your airwaves.
Bye.
Bye-bye.